Most of the jerseys in the EPL aren't even that great, in my opinion.
They're just like mishmashes of garbage. Like,
ooh,
that's Chelsea. They're up here pretty. I think they're pretty. Actually, they're pretty low. 13. We'll go through it quick to get to City.
I just feel like City has the best colors too.
They do have a nice color scheme.
Also, when United went to Chevrolet, I'm like, I'm out.
It's
I'm
stupid.
Done.
It's a giant. It's the biggest logo in the world. Yeah. Like, it's pretty. It's pretty obvious who your sponsor is. These are all pretty plain and boring. Oh, nice. Probably. That is, it does look like Darth Vader. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't understand like the fractured look.
It's, they have like these like mosaic stuff on the side of their stadium. That's trying to pay homage to that. And like these are supposed to be like all the waterways and like tunnels of like the trains.
Boy, that's a stretch.
And then this is a throwback because they used to have.
I actually kind of like those.
Right. Nice and
sweet.
Paisley. You a big like Brad Paisley fan?
No.
What about a Paisley here fan?
Stop.
All right, welcome back to the locker room. I am your host, Justin Reed, alongside Andrew Tenney. This is the only consistently ran sports talk show in the city, actually in the area. We are lucky to be sponsored by a fantastic company that we love to utilize and tell you guys all to utilize.
Yeah, a little birdie just flew in the room, so I thought we'd talk about that little birdie. That birdie being Lucky Bird, a Spokane-based e-commerce and digital marketing company dedicated to helping local companies scale in the online world of e-commerce and digital marketing. Visit LuckyBirdBrands.com to have a down-to-earth, no-pressure conversation about your digital marketing and e-commerce strategies today. Boom. Lucky Bird. We love them. We know you will, too.
Speaking of a Lucky Bird, this morning my dog, there were some turkeys out in our yard. She goes outside, and this turkey takes off. Luckily, they can't fly, but they can kind of, like, lift.
Right.
Lifted itself into the tree and hid from my dog. So, Lucky Bird.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So, Lucky Bird. See how I
was it luck?
Tried that? Yeah, it was because I think...
Could have been skill.
No. Turkeys aren't skillful. They're just annoying.
Mm.
So moving on to the thing that I'm so happy that isn't actually happening. So the Mariners were this close to making the playoffs, and they're not going to now because they obviously, like always, become the Mariners. If they would have made the playoffs, they were only two games back a couple days ago, maybe a game and a half. They were really close to pushing the Astros for that final wild card spot. I would have been so unhappy if they made the playoffs.
Wait, how many weeks of the regular season are left, though?
There's only like 14 games.
Oh. Well, okay. So, I mean, they're not completely out of it.
No,
but,
they're not completely out of it,
but
they
are. But the buzz
are.
That emerged is finally dead after 2 days.
Yes,
hope.
So they have games against – they have like a couple doubleheaders against the Athletics, who are one of the top teams in baseball. They have a series against the Astros. I mean, they're out of it. There's no way. I mean, unless they go on some crazy run. Then the Astros play the Rangers a few times, and they play the Diamondbacks a few times, and both of those teams are like the worst in
baseball. Yeah, all the Seattle fans just want another four-game series with the Rangers right now, don't they?
All we want is a game – actually, no, we don't want that, because if they make the playoffs this year, like I said a few weeks ago, I'll be severely disappointed because everybody would roast the Mariners even harder for making the playoffs on a season that is already going to be looked at with an asterisk, no matter who wins the World Series, because the other 29 fan base are like, does this actually count? And they're like, no. And then the only franchise is like, we did it, we won. And then nobody cares.
It would be fitting.
It would be 100% fitting. And that's why it's the best part that they actually aren't going to do it, because if they did, I would have been sad.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
So you're happy that they're losing again.
I'm happy that they're losing again, which is a nice oxymoron.
You had your fun for a couple weeks there.
I had my fun. They had a really nice stretch, won six games. There are a lot of positives, though. The starting pitching's coming around. The young kids are playing really well. Kyle Lewis should win AL Rookie of the Year if he continues to play like he's playing. Kyle Seager had a nice bounce back year. Everything's falling into – and the young kids are staying healthy down in the taxi squad. So I'm thrilled.
That Gonzalez guy is pretty good, isn't he?
Go Zags. Yeah, no, he has done really well this season. He has just over a 3 ERA, and he's really done well over his last few starts. So happy the Mariners are not in the playoffs. That's my team. Obviously, that's your team. But let's talk about your team only. NBA played last night, right?
Oh, yeah. So last night, Boston and Toronto went into two overtimes, and all of my friends texted me right after, including yourself, being like, hey, bud, what happened there? Hey, what happened to the Celtics? Hey, how you doing, bud?
How's Jason Tatum?
Not good in that game. So he started really poorly from the field shooting. He also missed a couple free throws early on, and of course, I was saying to myself as he's missing three early free throws, I swear to God, if they lose by that many points, what do you know? They lost by 3 points. Crazy. But anyway, he got it going in the second half. His shot was falling. They hit a barrage of threes to clamber back from like a 8-0 deficit and to take the lead. But man, he was just turning the ball over down the stretch, left and right. And we actually have a play that we're going to get to later in the show on probably his worst, but now that you see the replay, maybe most understandable turnover.
And very frustrating as a Celtics fan for the
Yeah, truly. Kemba had 5 points, which is inexcusable. He didn't shoot the ball well. However, he wasn't shooting the ball, period, which is a problem. Jalen was the only guy. Well, Marcus Smart actually played really well. He made a few timely threes. He was making great passes. Oops to Tyus all day long. Jalen Brown, he was the guy, and of course they had this stat that they were undefeated every time he had scored more than 25 points, and of course he scores 29, I think, last night, and that is no longer the case because that's just kind of the game it was. So that is unfortunately going to seven after having two opportunities to put the defending champions to bed, and they did not do that. All that I care about is whether or not they wear their black uniforms, because they are 3-0 in the series when they're wearing black. They were the home team last night, so they could have chose to wear black. They did not. So should have expected a loss there. But, I mean, honestly, Lowry was god status last night.
Especially late.
He didn't miss anything.
No.
He didn't miss anything. And, of course, he's going to take all these charges, and he throws his body on the floor more than anybody in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, I like and respect the guy, but now that I'm a fan going against him, I hate him. I absolutely
hate
him.
Is he, like, at the top of your list of, like, biggest –
He's surpassed Serge Ibaka in this series.
Serge Ibaka was number one?
Well, no, just for this series in particular, just because they do not defend him on the perimeter, and he knocks down the threes every goddamn time. And
he's
like
a good shooter.
No, he is, and it's like, have you not figured out that he's going to do exactly this to you? Man, but anyway, yeah, Kyle is up there. There's also a replay early in the game in which Jalen Brown's going for a putback dunk, and Kyle sweeps his legs out from under him and then immediately goes to him on the ground to apologize, because he knows, he's like, that was really dirty. Yeah. That was douchey as hell. Of course, there hasn't been much conversation about that except for the really salty fans on Twitter, which myself was included in that group last night.
Fans.
But anyway, of course, every casual fan that doesn't have any vested interest in this series wanted to see it go to seven. That's exactly what it's going That's what's going to happen, and Friday is going to be another night of stress and hair loss for me, so I cannot wait.
It's a Friday night, though, so, you know, either way, if they win, you're going to celebrate, and if they lose, you're going to do the exact same.
I'm
going to
coug it. Win or lose, finna booze. Yeah. That's just how it's going to go. So that's the status of that series. Moving on to one that's already in the rearview mirror, Miami and the Bucks. The Bucks played that last game without Giannis, couldn't go on that ankle. They came out punching, and they were gritty, and they were taking it to Miami. Ultimately sputtered, and Miami, who was the better team the entire series and maybe the best team
right now
since the playoffs have started, they just look unstoppable. Again, I say this every week, but their multiplicity of scorers is just, when you have Hero coming off the bench, Jay Crowder's playing the best that Jay Crowder's ever played in his life. Duncan Robinson can always go for 25 if he gets hot.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler didn't even have that many field goal attempts, and he didn't even have that many points, but he's just making the right plays.
And he also is kind of that lifeblood of that team. Like, every single 100%. Highlight I see of that Heat team, he's always, like, just so jazzed and, like, jacked up about everything. Like,
100%.
He just has that emotion.
And he's got that awesome Michelob Ultra commercial for him, and it's just like,
that's not the great beer to be sponsored by, in my opinion, but, you
whoa.
Know.
Whoa. Okay, we can talk about that later. But, I mean, really the only conversation left about that series is the aftermath and what it means for Giannis, and, of course, all the negligent speculation about trade rumors and his free agency in 2021 ensued after the game. He does need help. He needs a better number two, because Chris Middleton is not – he's not qualified to be that bona fide number two. He would be a nice three on a team. I really do think so. But the way their team is kind of situated right now, they really don't have a lot to play around with. They don't even really have that great of trade assets.
No.
You're throwing in, like, DiVincenzo and then maybe somebody if they wanted to take on Chris Middleton's max deal. But who would want to do that?
Yeah.
I think that was a really costly move giving him that deal. But I understand you have to keep that guy. And, of course, the way the market works and everything, that was the only thing that you could do. It just sucks now with the position that they're in. I like the idea of Chris Paul – getting traded there. I think that might be one of the only moves that they can make anyway, because they can't really bring in free agents.
And the Thunder don't need him anymore. I mean, yeah, they had a good run this year, but their goal was never to be this good this season. I mean, they have 13 first round draft picks over the next 7 years. I mean, they're building for the future. Their time isn't now. And if they just pick up a couple complimentary pieces as they're rebuilding, I mean, they don't need a guy like Chris Paul running their
team. I think they might be looking to blow it up, too. And Donovan's moving on, and I think they want to bring in.
Which is a little bit of a surprise, too.
Yeah, but it also wasn't. I don't know. He's gotten a lot out of his teams, but at the same time, he also had teams with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and then Paul George. So he did have kind of a hard time managing talent and getting the most out of superstar talent. However, the little scrappier, underachieving teams with less roster talent, he definitely got the most out of that.
I think he could use a fresh start somewhere, too, because I think he does belong at this level. I think there are some people who are saying, like, oh, you know, this is not just another example of a college coach not succeeding.
Woach said he will get another NBA job. He's staying in the NBA.
He fits there now. Is he a top coach? Probably not, but can he be? I think he could with the right pieces.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have to look at the personality and the prospects of the team, because he's not going to go, obviously, he's not going to Brooklyn because Steve Nash already got that job, but he's not going to go to a high profile team that has championship aspirations. I don't think he's that type of coach, or at least hasn't proven to be, that can really get the most and knows how to manage big superstar personalities. Yeah. Anyway, really quick before we move on, do you want to see Giannis stay in Milwaukee?
I do. I think he was asked about it, like you said, last night, and he said, I love Milwaukee. Like, I want, if anyone could win a championship, you know, everybody would have one. Mm-hmm. And he likes the fact that people in Milwaukee don't, you know, they give him his space. You know, he's not like in LA where everybody, paparazzi are in his face. The fans are always there whenever he goes out. So I think he likes Milwaukee. They gave him a chance, a kid who
he's
really
different
unknown.
Too.
He's so different. He's not one of the guys. I mean, one thing that always, and I just saw these numbers, I didn't realize how much more money you make with him on a max contract with staying with your team than with another. I mean,
that's the thing that they had to do to try to incentivize stars to stay with their smaller market teams.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't make millions of dollars, but no, not right now. Damn. I did. But I lost it all.
Yeah. On your computer.
Black market cockfighting.
Nice.
So that was not good on my part, but I think he'll stay. I also think that, I hope he stays. I think he.
I do too.
I want him to build that team. I want them to get another guy in there to give him the ability to win a championship. I think he deserves it. I think he's. But the problem is they need guys who can shoot. That's their big thing, because Giannis is going to drive every single time he gets the ball. And his big thing is either getting to the rim if he can, and if not, he kicks it out to somebody.
He's also got to work on his game, too, because it works well in the regular season and everything. Mm-hmm. But once it gets to the playoffs, and Miami was the perfect team to defend him in the Giannis wall that they built so successfully, all he's doing is driving, spinning, and then looking to kick it out. He's got to add another element to his game. Obviously, we all know he's got to improve on his three-point shooting.
That's the big thing. I think if he can do that, that's the key, because that that forces people out on him rather than just sitting at the top of the key waiting for
absolutely,
him to run.
Absolutely. If he could get a step back jumper working in there too, so that he could add that when he's getting stuffed when he's driving to the basket, and just pull back, step back. I mean, obviously nobody's going to be able to block that shot. It'd be like KD.
It would be unstoppable. It would be 100% that's what makes Kevin Durant one of the best basketball players of this generation,
right?
Scoring wise, specifically, is because he has that jump shot that he
exactly
is unstoppable. I mean,
you can't defend it when he pulls up. He's like 13 feet in the air. It's like nobody's touching
exactly.
That. Moving on to the two last series, the two Western Conference series. Okay, so the Clippers just went up pretty easily, 3-1. After games 2 and 3 were actually pretty encouraging for Denver, even in the game 3 loss. They were competitive. They were in the game. The series is over. The Clippers are just too good. It was a nice little run for Denver there.
And Denver has to be too tired. I mean, that's a long
series. Right, exactly. And they were coming off of the 7-game series that was super intense with Utah. But the Clippers still got to figure out these cyclical lulls that they have during games over and over where they disengage. And I think that's the biggest thing that they have to work on going forward, because they've gotten their bench burst back with Lou Will and Dontrez. Beverly's come back into the lineup, and he's been exactly what he has always been, which has been a huge plus for them, especially on the defensive end of things. But they just have to not be so off and on. They got to be more consistent, and I'm not sure how you figure that out, but they got to lose this arrogance that they have that, we've done it. It's like, no, Kawhi has done it and Doc Rivers has done it in different situations, and the rest of you have never done anything, so stop acting like this is yours. But they are the most talented team, and I think overall they are the best team, even though they don't always play like it. You just never know what you're going to get, but I think that's the biggest thing that they have to work on going forward. But Denver, it was nice seeing you. We'll see you again next year. Good luck. And then the Rockets
being interesting.
Yeah. Thanks. That's all you could ask. Right. And then the Rockets, they're down 2-1, but I think they're still in the series.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook, after having an abysmal game 2, he came back and he had a hot start in game 3. But then down the stretch, the second half, man, the Lakers really just, their defense was insane.
Yeah.
Houston wasn't getting any penetration. They couldn't kick it out. Nobody was able to get open on threes. Eric Gordon was, shooting it from 4 feet beyond the arc because that was basically the best shot that they could get at the time.
Yeah.
The Lakers have kind of figured it out. I mean, basically, if you don't get 30-plus from both AD and LeBron, they're in a bad position because their bench is just so it's so hit or miss. You never know who's going to show up. In this case, playoff Rondo has emerged once again, and he was hitting open threes. And of course, his defensive tenacity is otherworldly. And picking James Harden's pocket and then leading the break in transition and everything. If he can consistently come off the bench and be that spark, and obviously he and AD have a history back in New Orleans, and obviously Rondo's one of the best passers that's ever played in the league, and he finds them on those oops all the time, and it's really a thing of beauty. So I don't think this is over. I could still easily see it going 6 or 7. Russ is just going to be the hamstring, though, and they got to figure out their bench too, because their bench. Jeff Green in the first series, he was playing really well. Daniel House, who we'll touch on a little bit later as well, he has been out for personal reasons. Again, we'll get to that later. Ben McLemore occasionally gets minutes, but he hasn't been doing much. They really need some additional scoring beyond just Eric Gordon, Harden, and Russ. And Russ is just forcing shots, especially when that defense was tightening down, and he's just reverting back to what you don't want from Russ, the bad part of Russ. You take the good because the good is great and it's special.
MVP caliber.
Yeah, and it's just so unique, but we all know what it comes with at this point, especially in this point in his career, and he can't even hit free throws. He can't hit what used to be his go-to shot, which was that pull-up elbow jumper. He's not even consistent on those anymore. So I don't know. They got to make some adjustments. I don't know. I still think the series is up for grabs, but they got to get the game tonight. They got to notch it up 2-2.
If they go down 3-1, then I think that series is over. But they do have a very good shot of doing something tonight.
Because they can always get hot. They can always get hot. Multiple times. In both the games that they lost, they ate double-digit deficits multiple times. So it's like they go on runs like no other team in the NBA because of their three-point shooting and everything. But that's kind of the current status of things in the NBA. And it will maybe get shrouded a little bit now based on what's coming tonight.
Tonight, here in about 7.5 hours, we finally get the NFL back. And for a long time, there were a lot of media pundits who were being super Debbie Downers about the entire thing, saying, like, I'm not sure if this is actually going to happen. It's like, shut your mouth. I don't want to hear it from you.
Don't put it into the universe.
You're a liar, and if you say it, it's your fault. So, we know we're transferring over from a bubble-type environment that you have in the NBA that's worked very, very well to a fairly normal schedule in terms of there's no bubbles. And teams, their entire 53-man roster will be traveling. And we're going into a season where some stadiums are deciding to have fans, some aren't. There's five teams right now that will have fans their first game. That starts with tonight. The Chiefs will have fans in the stands. Also, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Colts, and the Dolphins will all have fans week one. Some of those are interesting. I'm surprised by the Jags. I'm surprised that Florida is doing that.
Are we, though?
No. Fair enough.
If you go by the numbers, it's like, yes this would not be advised.
But in Florida's also like, we're going to do what we want. And that's fine by me because, again, you can socially distance yourself while you're in these stadiums. And if you're wearing masks, this is my big thing. If you're wearing masks, what's the big deal?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, so I'm just wondering, you know, what's really interesting is you're going down this list of who's going or who's going to have fans and who's not. A lot of it really stems from what the governor of each state is saying, and it works its way down from there. They essentially have to go to their governor and be like, please, sir, can we please have some fans? And then he'll be like, no, or yes, and then only five have said yes. So I think it's really interesting. You know, the NFL, while being this massive conglomerate that has so much money and power, really has stayed hands off and said, we're going to let every single individual team make the decisions, and then we'll move on and see what happens from there.
I think they're just trying to ruffle as few feathers as they can just because of their history and the public backlash that you know, has come with some incidents and the way that the NFL has handled those respective incidents and everything. And of course, this is such a tumultuous season because you're not only working, you know, against whoever's on your schedule, but you're working against racism and all the social justice stuff. That is going to be another huge factor in the NFL this season, just as we've seen it across the other sports leagues since coming back. And then you're fighting the virus as well, and that is another opponent that you always have to take into account and follow all these precautions. It will be interesting to see, though, because a lot of these teams have come out and said, hey, for the first however many games, this is what you can expect. However, we will reevaluate. So we could potentially, if everything goes well, see fans back in most, if not all, stadiums
I think
by the end of the year. But the other thing that, of course, is on the horizon that is looming is fall and winter. And with that being cold and flu season, adding an entirely
another challenge.
New wrinkle to
So I think, I think every single team except for the New York team, so the Jets and the Giants have already said no for all season. They're the only ones. Everybody else has said, maybe, we're going to work at it, we'll see what happens. So that'll be a really interesting storyline to watch moving forward. If these first five teams that say yes to fans, if everything works out, fine. So we'll see how that goes. So the one thing you said, the NFL doesn't want to ruffle many feathers. They dropped a bomb 2 days ago that nobody's talking about, that ESPN themselves didn't even really talk about because I don't think they want people to know. But people will find out here come Monday. For the second time now, since 1989, Hank Williams Jr. will not be doing the Monday night opening theme song, All My Rowdy Friends Are Here on Monday Night, which has been the staple of Monday Night Football for almost, what did I just say, 1989? So for three decades now. And he also was taken off in 2011, I think, for a few years. He made some comments about Obama and Biden, and ESPN was like, don't love that, and they pushed him off, and people also weren't happy about that because they're like, well, why can't he just say what he wants to say? Anyway, he was kicked off a few days ago because ESPN said that not having fans in the stadium doesn't fit the climate of having All My Rowdy Friends Are Here on Monday Night. So they wanted to pick a song that doesn't talk about all my rowdy friends and like getting people jazzed about being together for the NFL. And I think that's an absolute cop-out. I think that is their best way of trying to push out Hank Williams Jr. by saying like, oh yeah, his song doesn't quite fit with our current status of COVID-19, and so we're going to put in somebody else. And instead of having Hank Williams Jr. who screams football, let's put in Little Richard, who died a couple months ago. Now, nothing wrong with Little Richard. He has very good music, very catchy. But Hank Williams Jr. is Monday Night Football, and he has been for essentially three decades. And it's absolutely mind-boggling why they would push him out. And I think it's an easy fallback. I think it's an easy way for them to push out Hank Williams and be like, oh, yeah, we just don't think it's fine to talk about rowdy friends. What do you think? Because Hank Williams Jr. gets me pumped every Monday night, even like you mentioned, Dolphins Steelers.
I was going to say, the only thing that he does, only thing he can do is get you hyped because traditionally the matchups that fall on ESPN's plate on Monday night are just awful and garner basically no interest from anybody other than the fans of the teams who are actually playing in the game. It is a convenient cop-out. I mean, we've seen a lot of that across many industries since the pandemic has started. I'm not terribly surprised. That's very ESPN. It's too bad. As long as I still have a little Carrie Underwood on Sunday night, I don't really care too much either way.
Now, the NFL would collapse if they took off Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, they'd be like, Jesus, please take the wheel. Boom, nailed it. Anyway.
That was pretty good. I think that might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Only like 14 episodes. it's too bad. Monday night, obviously in a transition anyway, bringing in a new team and everything.
And I love that team.
I do too. Even though I was listening to Lewis Riddick have some takes that I wasn't super appreciative of this morning. Still excited that
I think
he's
just got
be a part
some big old
broadcast.
Balls since he got on the ESPN broadcast. He's like, I can say whatever in the hell
his,
I want to say.
His balls have always been big and old anyway. So we're gonna move on.
We're gonna make some picks. We're gonna talk some NFL.
Some
previews here. So we're gonna fly through some previews. We have a lot of football obviously this week, so that's exciting. Even college.
Also, I'm gonna bring this up right here, right now for an audible. Do you want to skip the Jabronis in the closing time and just for the next 25 minutes go over all the NFL stuff?
We can do that because I can push my Jabroni to next week and it'll still fit because he is a big Jabroni.
Let's go ahead and do that because I know this is going to take up a lot of time and I don't want us to have to feel like we're just rushing through without touching on
and,
the things
and
that
that's
we want
fine.
To touch
Actually,
on.
I'm going to do my closing time because it's literally a 5-second video and we're going to end the show with that. I'm not even going to say bye. I'm going to say here's my closing time and we're going to play it and then we're going to cut it.
All right, NFL, okay. Here we come.
All right, NFL, we have AFC East will be the first division we talk about. I'll start off. This has been the Patriots division forever, it seems like. It always seemed like, oh, AFC East, Patriots, no doubt in my mind. It's going to be really interesting this year, mainly because it's not going to be the Patriots, but I don't think it's going to be that interesting. It's going to be the Bills. Because they have one of the NFL's best defenses. They have Josh Allen, who in theory should be making a lot of strides as a quarterback, and they added Stephon Diggs to an offense that really could use someone to stretch the field. I think it's the Bills all day long. What do you think?
I was on the Bills hype train well before last year. Bills Mafia, I love it. I love everything about
it. That is awesome.
Big Josh Allen supporter. However, I am hesitant to fully buy into his potential as a player just because his accuracy and decision-making is erratic at best. I actually have changed my mind in the last couple days. I'm going New England. I think New England's finally in a position that they haven't been able to be in 2 decades. They are counted out and counted down, and I think Belichick is so pumped for the opportunity to really pull out all his coaching stops without Tom Brady, and he's even throwing shades to the media. He's doing things. He's got a Subway commercial. He is capitalizing on the fact that this is his team now. Obviously, you bring Cam Newton in, and Josh McDaniels is licking his chops with all the different
things that
they can
do. Finally able to do something other than just drop Brady back in the pocket.
And throw it to your running backs on screen passes and outs.
And beat the Seahawks by tossing it less than 5 yards down the field. So
let's stop.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going New England. I know that a lot of key players on their defense have opted out. They probably got hit the worst by the opt-outs. But they still have Stephon Gilmore, and that's going to be able to let them do things on the back half of their defense. That other teams across the league will just not be able to do just because of the player that he is. And it's Bill Belichick, baby.
Yeah, like, unfortunately.
I'm going Patriots.
Hey, Vinny, can you start writing down these things for us? I know you're really busy producing, but we got to keep track of what's going on here.
I got it on paper. Don't you worry.
Oh, maybe your picks, not mine.
Okay, well, as long as your Word document
doesn't
disappear
fall apart again. So move on to the AFC North here. It's the Ravens. Steelers will be much improved this year after getting Big Ben back, as long as he can stay healthy. But the Ravens are a Super Bowl caliber team as long as Lamar Jackson takes another step as both a passer and as a runner in the sense that he needs to stay protected and safe when he goes down to slide. That defense will be a little bit worse, I think, without Earl Thomas on the back. I know he didn't play all that well last season. But
they still have
they're going to have less distraction.
Defense,
they do have a lot
and
of
they
studs.
Just added Calais Campbell.
Yep.
And which, I think they signed Derek Wolfe as well, too, to clog up the middle.
They got Calais Campbell for a fifth-round draft pick, and they did a very Bill Belichick thing there, too. But
so stupid.
It's going to be the Ravens.
It is the Ravens, and they're one of, if not the smartest organizations from top to the last player on the practice squad. The continuity is a huge thing in this year, or at least that's what all the experts are saying in this really uncertain year with all the things that are surrounding the league year. And I think Lamar is the kind of guy who is pissed off about the narrative behind him. I think he really has a problem with how he's shown out in his first two playoff appearances, and I think he's really looking to right the ship. And they're just too good. Their 53-man roster is one of, if not the best,
from
in the
top
league.
To bottom. Yeah.
Right.
AFC South. This one was very difficult, mainly because the Titans were so strong at the end
this
of last season.
This one was probably the hardest one to pick. Maybe
it's definitely if like up there with probably three.
Probably maybe.
Yeah. Probably maybe. Most likely. Possibly.
Definitely.
I went back and forth on this one a lot. I just believe in Philip Rivers, mainly because not because of what he's done the last couple of years. but he deserves to have a team around him that's actually good. And he's never had a team this good around him, again, from top to bottom, in the sense that with an offensive line and a defense that won't get, that he doesn't feel like he has to pass
their
the ball
2018
times,
team was really good.
Really good. Just so I think he's not now, and they also haven't had, the Colts haven't had an arm talent like this since Andrew Luck, and I know that was just 2 years ago.
Arm talent? Have you seen the way the guy slings the ball? It's one of the ugliest
motions.
That
I've, but
outside
he can
of
actually,
Kevin Hogan
but,
when he was at Stanford,
but he can throw to T.Y. Hilton 50 yards down the field, and Jacoby Brissett could not.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. That Indianapolis Colts team was really competitive with Jacoby Brissett last year. And if they didn't have Adam Vinatieri screwing the pooch on at least three games.
Which is super sad to watch.
No, it was. It was brutal. And the kid with the goggles out of Georgia has just won the kicking job, which is a great little storyline. I love that. Replacing the GOAT and Adam Vinatieri. I also, after having a tough time trying to pick the winner of this division, I went with the Colts as well just because of their roster. Frank Reich, one of the best play callers in the NFL. They have one of the best offensive lines. I think they're really going to look to the run game. They spent a second-round pick on Jonathan Taylor. They still have Marlon Mack. Nyheim Hines coming out on those third-down passing situations. And their weapons aren't great on the outside. T.Y. is always hurt. He's been around for a bit. They're looking at Michael Pittman Jr. out of USC to really make a leap. Well, you can't really make a leap because it's your first year, but really to be a positive for Phil Rivers.
Right away,
So even though I think the team is gross just because I've never been a fan of the uniforms, never been a fan of the city, and never been a fan of Philip Rivers, put all that together and you got my pick for the AFC South.
Yep. We'll go quick with the AFC West here. It's going to be the Chiefs, and it's because of the best team in football and they're defending Super Bowl champions.
It's going to be the Chiefs, and I'm going to go ahead and just say who my number two is because I think it's a little risque.
You're number two in the AFC West?
Yeah, they're not they're not going to be my wild card team, but I will mention them here. I think Oakland is going to compete.
Yeah, they should.
I think Oakland's going to compete. I think they're going to be jazzed about the Las Vegas move. They're going to be jazzed about all their really promising rookies that they're returning for their sophomore seasons. They always have one of the best offensive lines. Derek Carr, this is his make or break year. They just put Marcus Mariota on IR, so maybe that'll help him not having to look over his shoulder every time he messes up.
And which I believe too often.
Right. And I believe in John Gruden and the job that Mike Mayock and that regime has done already with not exactly a great job coming into, but I think they've actually done some really under the radar, really good things. So Oakland's going to compete. But anyway, moving on.
All right. So we're moving on to let's do the wildcard teams real quick.
Okay. The wildcard in the AFC.
Yep. So I have the Steelers because they're still going to be very good. As long as Big Ben's healthy, they're getting that wild card spot. Then the Titans. I think the Titans are good enough to secure that other wild card spot. Now, this was probably the hardest spot to pick out of even the division winners, but the third wild card team in the AFC, there's not a great team that really stands out, so I'm going to pick the team with the best quarterback remaining, and that's the Texans. And I'm going to pick them as my third wild card team. I don't love that pick. They don't have Nuke, DeAndre Hopkins moving to Arizona, but I think Deshaun Watson carries this team to a 9-7 third wildcard playoff spot.
Okay, I will agree with that. However, I have them. I have Tennessee missing the playoffs. I don't think their style of play from last year is replicable.
Yep, that's fair.
I think there are question marks on their defense, and I think Houston. Bill O'Brien doesn't get enough credit as a head coach. You can talk about
he's
all
a terrible,
of his faux pas as a GM. Those are completely warranted, but they've won the division. Or at least made the playoffs the last four of the five seasons.
Yep.
And, Deshaun Watson. I understand that they traded his greatest weapon, which was, again, one of his faux pas. They're going to compete. I can't imagine that they're not going to make it in the playoffs. So I have Houston. I also have Pittsburgh. Totally agreed. They're returning all those studs on defense. And Mike Tomlin. I mean, it's just one of the better organizations. As long as they have competent quarterback play, their offense is going to be infinite.
And as long as Myles Garrett doesn't knock out Big Ben at some point throughout the season.
I really kind of hope he does, though. And then Buffalo, because I'm all aboard the Buffalo hype. However, I just think that Josh Allen's a little suspect, even as much as I love him. I just think he's going to lose some games for them. But, so I have Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Houston for those three AFC wildcard spots.
Perfect. All right, moving on to the NFC. We'll start with the East again. This is the Cowboys division to lose. They are the best team in that division. And Dak is probably up there with Russell Wilson as being one of the more underrated quarterbacks, in my opinion. Now, do I think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I'm not sure yet. But they have probably the second best line in football. Behind, with them and the Colts go back and forth. They obviously have Zeke. They have a solid defense. They have an amazing defensive line. It's the next two levels.
On paper, that defense is really good. They definitely took a step back last year. And check me if this has ever happened before, but Sean Lee's on the IR. Crazy.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
But I just, real quick, I remember when, who was it? I want to say it wasn't Gruden. He's too smart. Somebody in a broadcast when the Seahawks were playing the Cowboys a few years back said that Sean Lee was a better linebacker than Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, best kind of ability is availability, and Sean Lee could not he could not flirt with that if he tried. I also have Dallas. I don't really think it's close, especially if you're just looking at it on paper, the roster talent and everything. I always say that Stephen Jones doesn't get enough credit. He's a sneaky good GM, and they finally have a net positive in coaching for the first time in whatever, 10 years, 11 years, however long Jason Garrett was there. They're not going to be fighting against their head coach, and I think that is going to be evident. Even though it's a first-year head coach in a very weird year, I like Dallas.
But an incredibly smart offensive mind in Mike McCarthy. I also do, moving on to the South, there's a lot of hype around the Bucs right now, but this is the Saints division to lose as well. They are too good from top to bottom. I don't see the Bucs making it as big of a step to take out the Saints. So I'm going to go Saints because of Drew Brees. His health, he's been an Iron Man 2 outside of last season when he had this thumb issue. Kamara just got his new contract. He'll be happy. They still have Michael Thomas. They still have a defense that is probably going to be top in the upper echelon of football. So Saints, and it's the Bucks aren't going
to
push them.
Yeah, this is going to be one of my hotter takes that I can't wait to eat later in the season. But
I'll make sure you do.
No, I'm not taking the Saints. I just think for whatever reason that team is cursed. I don't like the offseason that they had, even though apparently Breeze has amended all the things and repaired the relationships after his comments about the flag way back, what feels like 6 months ago. But it was probably in June or something. Anyway, I'm taking Tampa Bay. I'm getting on the hype. Bruce Arians has always been a really good coach, and now he's got the greatest of all time. It will be interesting to see how they scheme the routes because of Tom Brady's arm. We will see. But also, if we're talking about questions about Tom Brady's arm, those same questions could be applied, if not more so, to Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Their defense, especially their run defense in their defensive line, I think is very underrated. And I like some of their linebackers that they have flying around back there.
David.
Yeah, I think that as long as their offensive line can protect Brady, I think they are going to figure it out. Maybe they don't come out of the gates as impressively as we think that they might, but definitely by the end of the season, I think they're going to have that thing cooking.
Perfect. All right. Last but certainly not least, we have the NFC West, and I'll be a homer.
We didn't do the North.
I don't even have the North listed. Wow.
Who do you like in the North?
I like the Packers. Yeah. You know, Aaron Rodgers is definitely going down. He's already peaked. He's on the back end of his career, but he's still Aaron Rodgers in as a whole. Still can make things happen. Still has Devontae Adams at the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. Now he doesn't have much after that, but Devontae Adams has proven that he is a bona fide number one wide receiver who can beat double coverage. And I think the run game for the Packers is strong enough that it takes some of the pressure off of that passing game. And I think they'll be just fine. The defense will be average, but Rodgers will do just enough to get over the Vikings.
Yeah, I think so too. And I even had some hesitations about Minnesota. I think that they're a candidate that could possibly regress. I actually like Detroit, not to win it, but just as a dark horse team.
Yep.
In spite of Matt Patricia. Yeah, I actually, their offense was really good last year, and they were really good before they got boned on that Monday night game by the refs twice in Lambeau.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the Packers too. It's not a sexy pick, and I honestly can't cite a ton of reasons other than I just think Aaron Rodgers, that defense was really good last year. I don't know.
He's Packers. The best quarterback in the division.
Right.
And I think that carries it over because I think the Vikings offense isn't special enough. I think their defense is really good and will be with Ngakoue getting there. But I don't think that they will.
Daniil Hunter, I think, just went on the IR, though, so that's not great for them. Games, but so. The West.
The West. So, again, now that we're back to this position, I'm going to pick the Seahawks. They were an inch away from winning the division last year. I think they're a better football team this year. I think the Niners will take a slight step back this year, mainly because Garoppolo had a terrible postseason, and I just don't think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think that defense covers up a lot of holes. I just don't. No. Again, don't get me wrong. Niners will be very good this year. They're going to win double digit games, but the Seahawks are a better football team, I think, from 1 to 53, in the sense that they have the better quarterback. They probably have worse line play. They have a better running back. They have a better linebacker core. They have better secondary, and I think they have better coaching, in my opinion, in the fact that you know, Shanahan's a better play caller and can really do cool things on offense. But I think Pete Carroll is Pete Carroll. And I think I love Pete. So
yeah, I would like I mean, just me and the personality that I am, I would like to eventually one day have a coach that's not an eternal optimist and neglects to look at all the bad, such as consistently leading the league in penalty yardage per game or per season, rather. But
and looks at some advanced stats maybe here.
Right.
And there.
But I went with San Francisco. I just think that they're a team that's built to not have that Super Bowl hangover. Kyle Shanahan's the main reason for that. I'm not a huge Jimmy Garoppolo fan or believer, but the way that they can scheme that run game is just unrivaled and unparalleled in the NFL.
And annoying.
And annoying.
It's so annoying watching all that pregame movement.
Really quickly, I saw an article. One of the San Francisco writers was like, maybe a cause for concern this year is a lack of depth at defensive line. And we're like sitting over here in Seattle. We're like, what? You're worried?
One more time?
But I like San Francisco. And that's all I have to say.
Perfect. So wild cards. I'm going to go with the Niners as the top wild card. Okay. Vikings, I think, also are a good enough team. That defense. And I do like Kirk Cousins. I just don't think he's as good as Rodgers. And I have the Bucks. And so I'm going to get a little bit on that Buck hype train. Okay. Brady still has it in him. He has an amazing offense around him and a defense that I think is going to be better than last season. Mm-hmm. So they're going to grab the third wild card spot.
Okay, so I also have Minnesota. I wanted to go to Detroit. I really did. But
ultimately, I'm
kind of a believer in Kirk Cousins and their offensive weapons. I don't like the fact that they have to rely so much on a running back who is constantly hurt. However, I do think their defense is going to round into form once Ngakoue gets comfortable there.
Yep.
So I have Minnesota. I have Seattle. Mm-hmm. I just think they're too good. Yeah. I really do. Even though they might not win traditionally and they're not great in the trenches, I just think Russell and now having Jamal Adams, I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And this is the second half of my hot take. I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to squeeze in there. They've
had the Saints missed the playoffs.
I'm off the Saints. I'm sick of it. I really am.
Yeah, chalk that one up.
And I think Dan Quinn knows that he's coaching for his life. And when we saw him coach for his life last year, what did they turn around and go like 6-0 end the season?
Yeah, they almost pushed in.
Matt Ryan's tired. Since the Super Bowl loss of just having these awful teams, they've been bitten maybe worse than anybody except for Philadelphia with injuries over and over. If their defense can stay healthy, I think they will be okay. And just a little fun tidbit, every starter on their offense was a former first rounder. Not that that really means anything.
Right,
but
I did see that. That is
cool. Fun little tidbit. So you want to run through some week one picks?
Let's real quick just go give our big predictions for
that's right.
All right, so I have Seahawks Niners in the NFC Championship because I would love to see that.
Yep.
AFC Chiefs Ravens, they're the two best teams in the AFC, and it's not even close. Super Bowl, I'm going to say the Seahawks beat the Niners in the NFC Championship, but I have the Chiefs repeating as Super Bowl champions over the Seahawks.
Okay. Well, we have the same NFC Championship and AFC Championship. Okay, I also have Seattle, San Francisco.
Okay.
If you look at the parallels from the 2012 season, what happened and what happened the following season is very reminiscent of what happened in 2019. You could look at all the different things. I'm buying in, and I hate this because I'm not an optimistic fan, but I have Seattle and San Francisco. I also have Baltimore and Kansas City. Those are just the two best teams in the NFL and easily in the AFC. And then I have Seattle, Baltimore, and I have Baltimore winning.
Well, at least we're different there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Can you tell we host together? We spent a little time talking sports together. Yeah, geez.
Well, that's good. At least we have something different there. So I have Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
I have the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson getting that monkey off his back.
Perfect. All right. We have about 5 minutes here.
Let's go.
We're going to end the show here with a rapid fire selection of every single game this week. And we will keep track of this. We're not sure what it's going to mean. We'll figure that out before next show.
We'll get some stakes.
But we will get some stakes going. We'll start off tonight. Houston, Kansas City. Who do you got?
I have Kansas City.
I also have Kansas City. They're a better team. And Mahomes is going to probably throw for 400 yards tonight.
Yep.
Moving on to Sunday, we have the Eagles and the Redskins.
I like the Redskins. Give me the upset. Redskins at home.
That actually is a really good pick because I think Ron Rivera is going to get this team ready.
Yep.
I'll go with the Eagles.
We just said Redskins. Washington football team. Our bad.
Wow, we did it multiple times.
And I didn't even. Yeah. Our bad, fans.
That's so
viewers.
Dumb. Whatever.
Anyway, we'll Washington football team.
Yeah. That's whatever. Anyway, moving on. Patriots Dolphins.
Patriots.
Patriots. Also agree there. Packers Vikings.
I kind of like the Vikings at home, even though they're not going to have the fans, and they are a very very good team in front of their fans and use their home crowd advantage better than a lot of teams.
I hate their skull chant, but they really do use their. Wait, who'd you pick?
Vikings.
Vikings. I'll go the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers has some unfinished business with the whole Love being drafted in the first round.
Okay.
I'm going to go Packers there. Jags, Colts.
Colts, easy. Yeah. Jags are one of, if not the worst teams this year.
They are, but Minshew, I think Minshew's going to have a pretty good year. I think Minshew's going to have a decent year. This Colts secondary.
They're just going to pass the ball. They're not running it.
They could, that's Jay Gruen there. They're just slinging around. See ya, or yep. Release them. So, yeah, also the Colts. Bears, Lions.
Give me the Lions, baby. Matt Stafford. It's coming back, aerial attack. I love it. Their defense is awful, but the Bears are starting Mitch Trubisky.
I agree with all of those takes, and for some reason, I'm gonna pick the Bears. Okay. I think Khalil Mack also has something to prove. He had a pretty down season, especially his standards. So I'm gonna go with the Bears. I think Trubisky actually has a decent game. Okay. I think that competition between him and Foles also made him a maybe hopefully a stronger quarterback. One of my buddies is a Bears fan. I wish the best for him, but because I actually do like the Bears in this game. Raiders and Carolina.
Raiders
as well. I don't think Carolina has much of a.
I think Carolina could be fun.
They could be frisky. They're going to give McCaffrey 40 times a game.
Right.
Buffalo and the Jets.
Buffalo,
yeah. That one's going to be that's not a fun game at all. That's a game last year where it was Darnold and Allen.
Which was terrible.
Baltimore, Cleveland.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore too. Poor Cleveland. I think they are in a spot where they're not good enough to do anything, but they're not bad enough. They're going to be a middle of the line football team, and they're not.
They're going to be better than they were last year just by getting rid of Freddie Kitchens, which was maybe one of the worst head coach hirings ever.
Yep. Chargers, Bengals.
Give me the Chargers. There's reason to be hopeful because that Bengals offense could be fun with Joe Burrow, and he actually has some underrated weapons. If AJ Green can stay healthy, that's a huge plus. But the Chargers roster, even though they lost Derwin James, is just too good. They have one of the better rosters, actually. And Tyrod Taylor is a very competent mobile quarterback. So, Chargers.
I'm going to go Bengals just because they've been so bad. I just hope that they actually do decent, and I think Burrow's a good kid. Seems like a nice guy. Like, I wish the best for him.
A lot of moxie. He's kind of got a big ball vibe to him.
And that's why I like it. BDE. That's why I like it.
I don't know if he's a good kid.
He's a good kid in the sense, like, I want to root for him.
Okay, fair. Yeah, definitely.
Niners, Cardinals.
I kind of like the upset. Give me the Cardinals.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
I hope so. I would love that.
I don't know. The air quality might be a factor. I guess that's something they're monitoring.
Well, you saw those pictures before the
Niners
game.
Really bad. Oh, yeah, it looks like California is the on-ramp for the apocalypse.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody even lives there in the first place.
Right.
I'm going to go with Niners.
Okay.
I don't want to, but I'm going to go with them. Saints, Bucks. Here you go. You have to go with them.
Do I?
You have to. If you're going to think that it's...
What if I want to be a Starburst? What if I want to be a juicy contradiction? Okay, fine. Give me the Bucks.
I was going to say, this is a big game for them, even though it's week one. This is a big game. Huge. So I'm going to go Saints. I have the Saints beating them in the division. So I'm going to go Saints, Dallas, and the LA Rams.
Dallas, the Rams are not going to win in those uniforms. They have no business.
They're awful.
They have no business playing in that beautiful stadium.
Exactly.
Give me the Cowboys, and I really hope I'm not wrong on that.
I also am going to take the Cowboys. They are a better football team. The Rams have not been very good over the last 16 games. Let's move on to Monday night. Oh, Steelers, Giants.
Psych, that's not what wanted to come out of my mouth. Steelers, give me Pittsburgh all day.
Also on the Steelers train here. Yeah. Hopefully Big Ben doesn't get hurt. And actually, I don't like Big Ben, but for their sake, hopefully he doesn't get hurt week one. Titans and Broncos.
Broncos, no way you can prepare in an offseason for that Aaron Mile High, especially in those season openers. The Broncos are traditionally good. Give me Denver.
I think Drew Locke will be pretty darn good this year, but I'm going to pick the Titans because of the fact that the Broncos just lost Von Miller. Let's move on to Seahawks-Falcons. Who are you picking? You like
cautiously,
the Falcons too.
Cautiously taking Seattle.
I also want to take Seattle. I think Seattle has had issues with Atlanta in the past. I love Dan Quinn. I hope all the best for him, but I also want to pick Seattle this week. That should be a really exciting game that always ends up being a good game.
Yeah, too exciting. Yeah, my blood pressure on Sunday morning is not exactly
I know. You got to watch what you eat on Sundays because you might have a heart attack.
I'm thinking about it.
Exactly. Those are all of our picks. We will keep track of those moving forward. I do want to end with my closing time real quick with a funny video that I just saw this morning, actually. We will see you again next week where we will go over our picks as well as make picks for next week and also have whole new content.
We'll keep it going all season long. Football's back, baby. Enjoy.
The best sport in the world.
Shout out Lucky Bird. Ha 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 Thanks for watching The Locker Room on Spokane Talks. Check us out on Facebook as well as our other platforms. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation by emailing us at info@SpokaneTalksOnline.com. And for more sports news, opinions, and content, follow Justin and me on Twitter.